to them, it's a bit of a mystery. But you're with each other in spirit by being mindful towards them, by being prayerful towards them. And he's saying, you know, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, I have already judged if I were present, him that hath so done this deed. Isn't it funny? Remember a chapter ago how he was saying, don't judge anything before the time? The only reason I bring that up is just so you understand. See, there's judgment. Remember verse 5 of chapter 4? You see, people like to say, judge not that ye be not judged, right? Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. But then Paul says, in just a little while later in his letter, so obviously he had these ideas in his mind. I mean, he wrote this. What, do you think he knowingly contradicted himself? He would have had to, or he's just a scatterbrained lunatic. Because now he says, I have already judged him as though I were there. Because, and again, technically speaking, it's because of the judgment of God. Paul isn't sitting as judge over him, but he's judging based on God's judgment. This is not, you know, something that he has to make up, or that we have to make up, least of all. You know, there are certain things that we do not judge. There's other things that we do judge. There's some things that we suspend judgment on, other things we execute judgment immediately. And it's by the Spirit that you know when to do what. You got to know when to zig and you got to know when to zag. And the only way you're going to know that is by, in the Spirit of God, you learn the Word of God. You exercise yourself in it. It will improve your discernment and your judgment. We have to exercise good judgment, not bad judgment. That's the main teaching of the Bible, honestly. When you get down to where the rubber meets the road, exercise good judgment at the appropriate time. Judge not after the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment, Jesus said. And careful how you judge and how you hear. You know, it did say, judge not that you be not judged. Because with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. And the whole point of that is, if I judge other people for doing the same things I do, then I'm just convicting myself. That's his whole point of that judge not stuff. It's that you're going to convict yourself. But those who are perfect can judge all things. Yet they are judged of no one. So Paul judges. And he says, but what else did he, it's funny. What did he say back in chapter 4? Verse 4. I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that justifieth me is the Lord. In verse 3 he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Obviously, there's a certain context in which these statements must be taken. I mean, I assume you studied that with me, so I gave you the context back then. And the context here is of someone who's done something. Look at the judgment of God is set. You know, as Paul taught in Romans, what was it, chapter 2? He says, in chapter 1, he gives this list of all these sinful things, you know, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, etc., etc., etc. And what he says in verse 2, he says, we are sure, verse 2 of chapter 2 in Romans, he says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. But at the same time, in verse 1, he had said, we are inexcusable when we judge other people, in that when we judge them and we do the same thing. That makes us inexcusable before God as far as we cannot excuse ourselves from our own conscience. Meaning, you know, we steal, but whenever we accuse someone of stealing for us, we convict ourselves. You know, when we lust after our neighbor's wives and we excuse ourselves, but at the same time we accuse our neighbor when we don't want him lusting after our spouse. And that's the principle on which those statements against judgment come. They come against those. What it's saying is, honestly, it's impossible for man not to judge things. But again, but by the Spirit of God, we judge righteously. And we judge in such a way that we are not judged. Because we don't do the things which we judge against. That's the whole point of Christianity, is that we could be justified before God. How do you think we're going to stand with Christ in the judgment, judging sinners, having never escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? If we don't escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, how are we going to judge people worthy of the lake of fire, worthy of destruction? How are we going to judge them worthy of destruction when we've done the same thing? By the blood of Christ, true. But if we continue in those same things, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, that those which do those things, if you're the doer of those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot keep being the doers of those things, because grace reigns through righteousness. Righteousness is the evidence of the reign of grace in my life. Righteousness in me, the gift of God, the gift of righteousness by faith, is the evidence that grace is reigning in my life. And he's saying, when this type of thing happens, you have to deliver such a one to Satan. What does that mean? You know, deliver him to Satan. And I suppose, you know, there could be, you know, different ways of looking at this. Now, I'm thinking myself as I read, I'm like, okay, well, how do you deliver such a one to Satan? You know, like Luke 13:16 says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And also Paul talks about the infirmity of his flesh as a messenger of Satan. Sometimes the person being taken away, you know, can be either through physical problems, like illness, or some sort of, and the idea is, again, for the destruction of the flesh. That's what he says. Let them fall ill. Let some evil befall them. Let Satan have them. You know what I mean? It's like literally to pray, Lord, let evil befall our brother. What? Are you saying, are you nuts, Paul? Do you understand? Sometimes.